You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
You guys ready for Super Bowl Sunday? The greatest event right here at C3. If you don't know the belief of C3, it is raise up and release. I think our pastor's crazy, but I've watched him since day one when he built this church. The heart of our pastors was to raise up and release and find the gold in every one of you. And so if you're not yet in a connect group, it starts there. Get connected. If you're not in the river of life, you have no idea how to get refreshed. So get in a connect group, which is the river. Learn the culture. Start leading a connect group because we want to find that gold inside the connect group, raise up and release to build connect groups. That's called good fruit. And then what happens is, literally, we wrote down names on a sheet of connect group leaders. And we, my wife and I, just prayed over them. And it's amazing. God highlighted. There was more than we could ask to come up. So you're going to hear from three connect leaders. And if you want to stay because you were impacted, which you will be, for the next service, there's going to be three more connect leaders that are going to tear this roof off. So we're going to stand our feet real quick, and we're going to introduce. It's going to be Pastor Jesse Sullivan first. Then it's going to be Bree Robinson right here in front row right here. And where's my third? Where is it? Right here, Ben Jordan is going to close us up. You have no idea. They're going to hand the mic off. The culture at C3 is we're going to cheer them on. We're going to shout them down. And we're going to watch the Holy Spirit drop in here. And our hearts are going to be forever shifted by some connect group leaders that want to multiply, that want to see you bigger, want to see you better on Super Bowl Sunday. So let's give it up for our first preacher, Jesse Sullivan. Come on,
come on,
Pastor.
Come on. How we doing? Come on. Let's give it up to Jesus. And the clock has started, people. Hey, can we just quickly give it up for our pastors? Pastor Matt and Kayla, how awesome are they? Can I just say just a quick endorsement? There's only a few people in your life that you'll come across that believe more in you than you do. And that is the DNA of our pastors. So get around them, love on them, honor them, pray for them, because they're our pastors. Come on. All right, grab your seats. This is going to be painless and enjoyable. All right, championship teams. Who's ever been on a championship team? By show of hands. Come on. All right, championship teams. I actually believe that God has called all of us to be on a championship team. Is that crazy? Some of us that feel like we don't have athletic ability, like, wait, how's that possible? But I think that God has a position for you on his championship team. It's not impossible to think about. Let me take you to Matthew 16:18. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. How powerful is that? What Jesus is talking about is you and I. We're the rock, small r, not big r. We're the rock that Jesus is going to build the church on, the championship team. You know, when I was younger, it's cool now, but when I was younger, I grew up with a learning disability, and it wasn't very cool. It was almost kind of like a burden that you carry, and I was dyslexic. And I don't profess it anymore. It's done. I don't carry that anymore. But growing up, my teachers, I remember sitting down. You got the parent-teacher conference. So I'm sitting there not sure what's going on. I feel like I'm going into like a medical evaluation. And they said, Ms. Sullivan, I'm afraid your son will never get to the point where he can live on his own. So just prepare for it. I'm like 7. I'm like, where? Come on. You're fired. You're done. But I thank God that he believes so much in me that wasn't my future. So if you have that type of past, that type of label, can I just tell you that God's ready to rip it off today? It actually doesn't belong to you. It's a lie from the devil. It's so powerful that when I wake up in the morning, when I go to the office, I got to pinch myself. How do I get to do this? Because, you know, the teacher was saying something that she saw, but it wasn't truth. It wasn't kingdom truth. She didn't see what God sees, and I'm so thankful for that. Now, you may ask, well, if we're going to be on a championship team, how is that possible? How do we become part of a championship team? Well, let me take you to Acts 1, and it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be a witness to me. I don't think there's a greater position for us to stand in than the Holy Spirit's power. There's a lot of great organizations out there. They have great mission statements, great causes and purposes, and they're champions in their own right. But there's no champion like the church, because of the power that we move in, because the position that the Holy Spirit has put us in, that He walks through with us. Like, we're called to move mountains. We're called to see that what you can't see be delivered and built up. I remember when I met with Pastor Jurgen. You guys have heard the story. He actually tells the story better than I do, when he refers to me as Jeff. So forever, I'm always known as Jeff. But he's describing in Denny's what this church is going to look like. I have no idea. We're new Christians. We're newlyweds. We're new to San Diego. And we have no idea. And I have this label still on me that I'm never supposed to live on my own, let alone be married and live a house, you know, lead a household. And he's describing, we're going to be one church in many locations. We're going to spread out what God's got for you and Kat and so many more people that are going to come. And we're going to raise up leaders. People are going to be saved. San Diego is going to be changed forever. That's going to be with the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. But you know what's great about it is that there's a partnership with that. There's a partnership with that. I remember speaking in tongues for the first time. Anyone speak in tongues here? Oh, wow. Okay, cool. I thought I was the only one. We're in Pastor Jurgen Leanne's house, and it's a prayer meeting. The prayer meetings are just starting off, and Pastor Jurgen says, who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Who wants to pray in tongues? And I didn't know if I was supposed to put my hand up, so I put my hand up. I was like, I do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, but I don't know if I'm that smart to receive the Holy Spirit. Has anyone had a thought like that before? Like, it's an intellectual kind of like transformation. And so he lays hands on me and he's kind of coaching me through it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I got it. So I'm playing like these mind games with myself. No, I don't have it. I don't think I have it. And then the next month, the prayer meeting again happens. And Pastor, you're going to like, who wants to receive the Holy Spirit? So I put my hand up again because I don't think it happened. So just let's do it again. And he goes, Jesse, I prayed for you last time. You don't think you have it? I was like, well, just do it again. Double anointing or something. Just do it again. But now I'm thankful that he did, because I love praying in tongues. Sometimes I don't even know. Most times I don't know what to pray for, so I get to pray in tongues. But I feel such strength, something coming inside of me. It's almost like the champion inside of me is busting through. And it's like, wow, you're trying to build two buildings at once, and the world's telling me you can't do that. But the champion inside of me says, absolutely. Next time it'll be three buildings. Next time it'll be four buildings. You can't stop a championship team. Come on. It's so good. Now, the other question that sometimes I like to ask myself about championship teams is, what's going to happen when we start to win? How are we going to know when we're winning? Don't you want to see that? Now, by show of hands, like, do we have any, like, sports fans, like, diehard sports fans? Like, you have, like, a back tattoo of, like, the Dodgers or anything crazy like that? Yeah. Sorry. That was hit or miss. I like championship teams so much that I can watch cricket when it's a championship moment, but I can't watch it throughout the season. I may watch baseball when it's the World Series, but I don't necessarily watch it. But I love championship teams, because it's all that culmination. It comes down to this one moment. What are these guys in a clutch moment going to do? I think championship teams for the church, this is what it looks like. We start to see salvations and baptisms. We get to be a part of that. So our neighbors that are, you know, not saved, they get to get saved. Last week, we got to baptize a whole bunch of people. And you couldn't even tell it was cold water. It was so cold. You couldn't even tell, because they were champions. They were just stepping into their championship moment. Relationships. Oh, my gosh. Kat and I have been so blessed with the best relationships. Oh, my gosh. I mean, a lot of people say they have a lot of relationships when you look at their social media, but we can go and say we have hundreds of people that we do life with. And it's because of the church. You can't get that anywhere else. Genuine relationships. It's so true. Dreams. The dreams that God's unlocked in us. Like, dreams that I shouldn't have. It's like it just seems illegal. Like, why should I have a dream like this, like to own my own business or to have multiple houses? Like, is that selfish, God? Dreams from heaven. He has dreams for you. Memories, the greatest memories. I know we don't look in the past, but I like to kind of pinch ourselves when we used to do church set at 5 p.m. in our Dodge Dakota truck. We're moving the heaters and the boxes and everything in the middle of the night. Those are great memories just to kind of laugh about because we're moving into such massive territory. Great memories, not memories of like regret or bitter or like, you know, oh, it just didn't come to pass. Memories that you cherish and love. Fun and excitement. Who knows that life's supposed to be fun? If it's not fun and exciting, then stay, get plugged in, go to a connect group, get on a volunteer team, you know, start giving. It's going to be fun and exciting. God is a fun and exciting Heavenly Father. Helping others and hearing about how your help changed their life. Just praying with them, believing for them, punching them on the shoulder. I'm a puncher, so I like to punch people. But in love, it's not. But just seeing how people are going. People need encouragement. We're doing life with the greatest people. The last thing I would just say is like marriages, seeing all these great marriages come together, all these new babies come together, financial blessing. Kat and I aren't in the same position we were when we first came. We were tithing like $40 when we first came to the church. Now God's just challenging us, but we're just increasing. That's not because of we're so amazing, but God's just blessed us. So championship, we are all called. Look all around. We're all called to be on a championship team. I'm so thankful that you're here because you are part of the team. God has positioned you, has called you to be a part of this team. It's time to step forward into that championship moment. Amen? Amen. All right. Speaking of champions, I'm going to welcome Bree up to the stage. Let's give it up for her. Woo!
What up, party people? I'm super stoked. Come on, come on. If we could just take a moment to honor Pastor Matt and Michaela. You guys are incredible, have totally affected and changed my life. I love you guys, and I'm so blessed to serve you. You're incredible. Take a seat. Oh my goodness. I am so honored to be up here this morning. And I can't wait to bring you a word. And the title of my message today is called, Come to Win. Come on, come to win. So I've really been praying about this message, and my biggest prayer has been that this would be more than just a 10 minutes for you. That would be more than just some words coming out of my mouth, but that would truly be a message that transforms you. So stick in for the ride. Get something from it. Come expectant to get something. Come on. So as I said, it is Super Bowl weekend. I don't know about you guys. I freaking love sports. Like, I know, like, I can literally, like, I don't even know what's happening or what team I'm rooting for, but I'm like, yeah, touchdown, goal. Oh my gosh, home run! Like everything is just so exciting. I love sports. And I grew up playing varsity basketball. I don't know if any basketball fans in here, but a little bit of like, oh, you know, basketball fan. That was me. And on my basketball team in varsity, we'd have a time during the week that we would sit down and just go over the other team. So we'd watch film and we'd see their biggest strengths, their biggest weaknesses. And then I started thinking about that, and, you know, we go, and I'm like, okay, well, what else did we do? I remember during the warm-up time, like, when we'd see the other team actually for, like, the first time during the warm-up, I remember that there would, like, we would see kind of their weaknesses come out, and then there'd be, like, a spirit that would rise within our team, like, dude, they suck, you know, like, dude, we're gonna win! Like, we were so excited. We get, like, so passionate, so excited because we saw that in their weaknesses, we were actually strong in, and that we had a chance of victory, a chance of winning. And so the thing is, when we knew that we had a good chance of winning, we came expecting to win. We came on the court so much differently. And the thing is we have to come that same way when it comes to the things that come in our world and the things that come against us. We have to come expectant to have victory over them, you know? And I love sports, so it also makes me extremely competitive. Our Connect group the other day, we were playing charades, and I'm just there all mad in the corner, like, yelling, no, it is a dog, it is not a fish, it's a dog. Like, the whole time, I'm just sitting there mad. And I'm like, come on, let's win. And the thing is I think that in that competitiveness, I hate cheating. Like, who in here? Like, if you're bad at the game, just be really good at being bad. Don't cheat and make everyone else mad at you, you know? You just gotta be good. And so the thing is I want to get a little bit truthful here, is we let the devil cheat us sometimes. Come on.
we need to get a little bit competitive, a little bit mad at the cheating, because the way that he does it is he starts lying to us. He starts saying that our depression, our anxieties, our problems are bigger than us. He starts lying to us and trying to convince us that he's the one that has the victory, when in fact it is God that has the victory. So come on now. We have to stop being caught up in those lies. We have to stop being caught up in the trash talk of the enemy. And we have to focus on what God says. In 1 John 5:4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." Come on. Everyone born of God. And I want to highlight that born of God, because the first area you'll find that the devil will try to attack is your identity. He will try to attack your identity. And the thing is how we overcome that is we start knowing our worth in Jesus. We start knowing the fact that he has given us authority. It has given us power. We have to know the truth, and we won't be fazed by the taunting or by the circumstance when we understand the truth. In Revelation 17:4, it says, "They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of lords." Come on, and the King of kings. And with him will be his called, his chosen, his faithful. Who in here is a called and chosen faithful follower? When we are with Jesus, we have already said to have the victory. Come on. So as we do that, it says a lamb will triumph. Things will come with the intention to overtake, the intention to hurt us, the intention to overwhelm us, the intention to come against us. But when we come onto the court, I remember stepping onto the court in basketball, especially when I know like my coach had chose me to start the game, I would step on and just be like, I'd be hyped. You know, it's like turn up, like I'm so stoked and I'm so ready. And the reason why it's like that is because I know that there's a good chance of me going to win. I came onto the intention, I stepped onto the court with confidence because I am called, confidence because I am chosen, confidence because I am faithful. We have to cling tight to that verse that when we come face to face with the enemy, we can kind of have a little smirk because we already know that we have the victory. Come on. It says that God has the victory. It's not even us. Because there can be things that maybe we're challenging, like are challenging us. And maybe areas that we don't see victory in right now. Maybe areas we're believing to have victory for. But when we believe in God and we trust him, we can know that we have the victory. I know there's been many times in my life where depression has come my way. And anxieties have come my way. And when I'm not filled with Jesus, when I'm not spending time in his presence, when I'm not spending time getting to know him, I find myself so easily overcome. So easily overcome by the world or by the lies or by the taunting. You know, I'm so easily overcome. But when I take a moment, whether it's 5 minutes during my day, whether it's, you know, a worship song that I'm putting on, in those moments, I truly find that in his presence, that I will get filled, that I'll get fired up, that I will begin to understand. It's like, you know, I can start to carry that not today devil mentality, that not ever, not always, not anything, that I can carry that because I have him inside. We've got to start carrying a little bit of that. A little bit of the confidence, a little bit of the tenacity, and a little bit of what, you think you got me, devil? Heck to the no. We got to start carrying that. Come on. You know? In Joshua 10:8, it says, "Do not be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." I find that when things come my way, they oftentimes don't come in like one. Like, it doesn't come in one. It comes in multiple. Like, you know, multiple. So it's not just depression coming my way. Oftentimes I find like 50 million things are coming my way, or a million circumstances are coming my way trying to overtake me. But I love this because it says not one of them. Not one of them. Come on. So we have to start declaring truth over our life. When depression comes my way, I can say Nehemiah 8:10, "For the joy of the Lord is my strength." When things come my way, I can start to battle them with the word of God. We have to get the truth within us so we can speak the truth out. And as we speak truth, victory will begin to form. Victory will begin to come out. Come on. We got to start speaking the truth. That is how you live a life of victory. And you can stand tall on it. And, you know, I found a way that I do is I'll write it on post-it notes. I'll put it in my car. I'll put it on my whiteboard, on my mirror. I'll start to put things out so that I can, as soon as I see them, I say them. And the thing is, if you have the truth in here, that when the enemy tries to cheat and lie, you could be like, cancel. Cancel, like literally, I know you hear people joke about it at C3, they'll keep saying cancel, but is it a legit thing? If you carry that into your life, you will begin to see victory because you're not going to be listening to other people. And man, do I love other people. And I know that people love us, but sometimes people aren't the best. And you can be encountering something that you're going through and people are like, yeah, but aren't you worried about that financial thing you're going through? Aren't you kind of struggling with that? Aren't you worried about that? But when you have Jesus in here, you can cancel out the voice of man and you can latch on to the voice of God, who always speaks victory, who always claims victory. Come on. in 1 Corinthians 15:55. This is, as I begin to close, this is going to be something I really want you guys to hold on to. It says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Where is it? You know, there's no, like, moment where he's like, whoop, there it is. None of that. Like, none of that happens. Like, there's nothing of death that is ever going to win, because with Jesus, we always have the victory. We always have the victory. And you want to know why we have that victory? I don't know if you're new to church today, but it's because of the cross. It is because of the cross that Jesus got victory for us. When he died for us because he loved us, that is when, in every moment for the rest of our life, that we were promised victory. From that exact moment, we were then called to have dominion and victory in every area of our lives. We are victorious forever and always. Let's come when we encounter situations. Let's come into the house of God. Let's come into situations with our family. Let's be the person that's the game changer, the one that has the desire and will to win. Let's be those people that understand our victory in Christ. And as I close, we're going to do something a little bit different here, but I want everyone to stand up. Because I found that one of the biggest things that will, you know, kind of be the game changer for us is praise. Praise is always a big thing of victory. I know the band's not up here, but we don't necessarily need them, but I want you guys to do this for me. I want us to start not only kind of talk about victory, but let's kind of step into it. I want us to, for 5-10 seconds, I want us to have a shout of praise lift up in this room, because it is said that in Joshua 6, that the walls of Jericho, they fell down because of a shout of victory lifted up into the place. So on the count of, come on. Come on, 5 more seconds. Come on. Come on. That is how you live a life of victory. That is how you live. Declare his truth. Give some praise, because we truly have the best God out there who always has victory laid out for us. He always wants us to live a life of victory. So come on. Welcome me as we welcome up Ben Jordan. Come on, let's give him a shout.
Wow. Wow. It's a drink from a fire hose. You know what's cool? The Holy Spirit's here, but the Holy Spirit's been on a bunch of our minds throughout the week, because when Matt and Kayla asked us to do this, I got this word, Jesse got his word, Bree got her word. And they all tie in together, and none of us collaborated. So be prepared. And thank you so much, Matt and Kayla, for being here and being our lead pastors. This place is exploding, and we've got so much greater ahead of us, and we have great leadership to follow, and we thank you. So this is a bit weird for me. I'm comfortable with this piece of wood right here. Not with this little bit of electronics, even though I'm an electronics engineer. I'm an Australian. I'm completely unfamiliar with American football, and it's Super Bowl Sunday. I would say this is all foreign to me, but really I'm foreign here. I'm foreign to it. And just to make matters more interesting, although I play guitar right-handed, I'm left-handed. So when I was a kid growing up, when I was in high school or even earlier than that, I was that kid at the end when people were picking others for their teams. No one wanted me on their team, which is weird. But don't feel sorry for me. I'm actually cool with that. I like who I am, and I always had a very strong sense from God of who I am. I'm a musician, I'm an engineer, I'm technically minded. So I hope you don't mind, but I might just geek out a little on one or two details today. But Erin and I have lived, there's my beautiful wife, Erin. I wouldn't be here without her, actually. We wouldn't even be in America without her. But we've lived in America basically since November 2005. So we've seen a few Super Bowl Sundays, and we've seen that it's, you know, almost as big a holiday as Thanksgiving, really. I mean, you don't get a day off work. But you almost do. I mean, yesterday, Friday at my office, you know, everyone pens down at 4 p.m., went to the kitchen for some cake and other goodies. And I'm like, okay, most of our developers are Ukrainian, so they were wondering what was going on too. But it was good, you know. It's a good holiday. It's good when people come around and they root for their teams. There's something about it. Although I don't know much about American football and I barely even know much about Australian football or rugby, but when I got married to a Kiwi, it was on. Whenever the Tri Nations or the World Cup's on, it's All Blacks versus Wallabies in our house. It kind of gets interesting. But my first exposure to American football and the Super Bowl, I heard people talking about it in American movies and TV, and I thought it was just that really bad haircut my mum gave me when I was 7. But actually, you know, NFL games have actually been played down under. In 1999, they'd just finished building a brand new stadium for the Sydney 2000 Olympics, and they decided to use American footballers as the guinea pigs, and none other than the Broncos versus what was the San Diego Chargers. So they were already flirting with other cities. Bit of a taste of the things to come, but anyway. So what's it really about? Why is it such a big day? And from the little that I've observed, it's about champions. It's about identifying. You know, we follow football teams, we follow rugby teams, soccer teams, whatever is your thing, pretty much everyone in here will follow football. And I see a few jerseys around today. And even if your team doesn't make it to the finals or to the Super Bowl, when it comes down to those last two, we always find ourselves picking one. Why is that? It's because in the human spirit, deep in the human spirit, we need champions to identify with, to represent us, to win on our behalf. And the Bible is full of champions like this. Now, many of you have heard this story 1,000 times, but let me just unpack something a bit more, God willing, for you today with the story about David. I don't have a whole lot of time, but let me read 1 Samuel 17:4-7. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. I always wondered how you'd actually get that out, but now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. He was a champion. He was fully trained. He had all the right stuff. He had the armor. He had the whole of the Philistine army behind him, and he was cussing out the Israelites for 40 days. Further on, we'd read, I don't have time to read it, but in 11 through 16, you read King Saul and the whole army was terrified. Why? And then David, this shepherd boy, comes out practically from nowhere. No one knew who he was except his own family at this time. And in verse 40, we read, he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And then further on in 49, then David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell his face on the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck him and killed him. But there was no sword in his hand, and therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, cut off his head with it. Now, as an engineer, I'm thinking about this and going, this doesn't make sense. Didn't they have other slingers in the Israelite army? And a sling. David had done his practice. He'd been a shepherd. He knew how to sling. If you think about this, about 1.5 meters of sling, 3 revolutions per second, that stone left at freeway speed. If a stone this big hits you in the head at freeway speed, yes, it will sink in. Didn't the Israelite army have slingers? Why were they afraid? They did have slingers. In Judges 20:16, I won't read it again because of time, but we read that they had slingers, about 500 of them, and guess what? They were left-handed. It says each one of them could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Why didn't the rest of the whole Israelite army think about using a sling and attacking this guy? Why did this one boy put two and two together? I'll tell you why. He had the Holy Spirit. He had the Spirit and the whole knowledge of God and the whole of heaven behind him. Right? See, in 1 Samuel 17:45, it says, "And David said to the Philistine," this is before he attacks him, "you come to me with a sword and a spear and the javelin. You've got all the right stuff. You've got the armor, the training. You apparently have the highest paid coach. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, who is the best coach, the God of the angel armies, whom you have defied." And I love how, Jesse, you had a scripture, Acts 1:8, and that's one of the ones that the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. That's what you need. You have the skills. You have the training. You have the armor. The difference between David and Goliath was strategy and the confidence of the whole of heaven behind him. And you need it. In Acts 1:8, Jesus promised all of us that the power of the Holy Spirit is to be sent to us and give us power to preach his good news to the ends of the earth. So do not wait. Today, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit if you haven't already. You need God's power in your heart, in your spirit, and in your mind. Amen. Dave.
Come on, let's give it up for those three pastors. Come on.